just your welcoming presence, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are an overwhelming influence in our lives, and God, that if we'll allow you to move and to shake and to direct, that our lives will go according to the way that you would have them to go, and we will be blessed. Lord, we ask that you take our word this morning and that you apply it to our hearts, and God, that we might be able to go out and be that which you'd have us to be. Lord, we just love you, we appreciate you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Sister Lisa's been talking over the last 5 or 6 weeks. She's been talking about the word. I got to take this off. You already have that, right? She's been talking about the seven sayings from the cross. Seven sayings from the cross. And thank you so much. Seven sayings from the cross that Jesus spoke. And we won't go back over those. But it's very important for us to understand that at the cross is where we received our redemption from. We received redemption. We were redeemed by the blood of Christ at the cross. And it's through his blood that we have that redemption. And then 3 days later, he was resurrected. And it's through that resurrection that we have the ability to enter into the heavenly realm that we had lost back in the garden, right? And so what God did was, is he gave us a picture of redemption, and he gave us a picture of resurrection or restoration to the place where we were. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about Samson. You can't hardly talk about restoration without talking about Samson. He was restored in the end. We're going to talk a little bit about Peter. That was a prime example of restoration. We'll talk a little bit about ourselves, because I don't know about you, but I've been in a place where I was blinded. I've been in a place where I was out of sorts. I've been in a place where I was not strong, where I had lost my strength. I've been in a place where I've been deceived. I've been in a place where I've laid my head in the things of sin. We've been there. But God can restore you from where you're at. So if you feel like you're in a place down here, God can lift you up here. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the book of Judges 16 through 31. And we'll talk a little bit about Samson. When the Lord spoke to me about Samson back a few weeks ago, and the one part of the scripture talks about him grinding, right? It says he was grinding, I believe it was in the temple of the Philistines. And I thought, well, what's that mean? You know, and I wasn't going to go into all the Greek and all that kind of stuff, because, you know, grinding's grinding. I don't know what it is. But what God showed to me was, we went to Mexico one time. And when we went to Mexico, we were out in the countryside, and we were driving along this back country road, and looked over to the right, and here was this donkey. And it was just going around in circles. Just going around in circles. And it was tied, it had like a post into like a brace on its shoulder, and so it couldn't get away. And there was a circular vat, like concrete vat there. And they, on top of that, in the center, they were putting in sugar cane, and they were shoving this thing full of sugar cane. And this donkey just kept walking around, grinding that sugar cane. Didn't have anywhere to go. Just kept walking. And that's the way I pictured Samson. He was grinding something. Whether he was grinding meal or he was grinding sugar cane. I doubt sugar cane in the desert. But wherever he was grinding something. And just to picture him as just walking around in a circle. Sometimes in life, We just get to grinding, don't we? We're just walking around in circles. Walking around in circles, tied to something we can't get away from, in a position that we're trapped in, sometimes of our own doing, sometimes not. And we see ourselves in that position, and we see that as the only place we can go. And the only thing that donkey could see was what that little circle, that groove in the ground that he was walking and creating. Because around that vat was a path that he had wore down. And as we go through life sometimes, we just grind. Just in that path, just walking in a circle. Not getting anywhere. Maybe accomplishing a little bit. We're grinding sugar cane. But we're really not going where God would have us to go. And so I thought of that as I thought of Samson. And Samson, the reason Samson was grinding in the temple, and we'll get to the scripture in a minute, was that he was the strongest, strong guy, right? He could defeat everybody. He was he was killing people with the jawbone of an ass. That was him, right? Jawbone of an ass. He was killing Philistines left and right. The enemy was dropping at his feet, and everybody wanted to know the secret of his strength. And so they couldn't figure it out. And so they sent in Delilah. Everybody knows the story of Samson and Delilah. And Delilah came in and she said, oh, tell me the source of your strength. Well, it's this. Oh, okay. Hey, his source of his strength is this. And the Philistines came upon him and he broke off the green bands or the green vines that were over him. Oh, the source of your, what is your, you lied to me. The source of your strength is what? Source of my strength is this. And he kept telling her things that weren't true about what the source of his strength was. And finally he did, as he laid in her lap, he told her the source of his strength was his long hair that a razor was never supposed to touch. And so they came in and they cut his hair, and Samson lost his strength, and he was unable to defend himself. And he found himself captured by the Philistines and grinding at the mill. Now, I say that to say this. There are plenty of times in life when we tempt fate, when we get a little close to sin, and we back away. We tempt it, we back away. And Samson was tempting this with Delilah. He was giving her a little bit of information that wasn't necessarily true, and then backing away at the last second because he didn't want to lose his strength. And then one time, he allowed himself to give the secret of his strength, and he lost his position. He lost his ability to judge Israel. He lost his ability to defend Israel. He lost his ability. But as he was grinding at the mill, guess what happened? Sometimes when you're in a position or you're in a place of going around in circles, what happens over time? Your hair grows back, doesn't it? Your strength comes back. And that strength's building up in you. And God's helping you to realize where you're at. I'm going ahead and talking about this scripture rather than reading it. But what happened was, is that as Samson got to the place, they were mocking him. They were making fun of him. Well, let's go ahead and read the scripture. Let's go ahead, Carlin. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as the other times before and shake myself. And he wist not or knew not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, "Call for Samson that he may make sport." And they called for him. They brought him out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And then his brethren came down, and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him and buried him between Zoar and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah, his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. So we find that Samson was in prison, he was grinding, and they brought him up to the temple, and he got a little help. He got a little help. He asked the young man that was there, he said, "Put my hands on the pillar." Once your strength comes back, sometimes you've got to ask for a little help. Sometimes that's why we gather together in the house, right? We gather together in this house because sometimes we may have found ourselves grinding. We may have found ourselves blinded. We may have found our strength gone from us. We may be in a place that we don't want to be. I think it's Mom says all the time that sin will take you further than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to be there. And Samson found himself in that place. And when he looked around, he found himself in the temple, and there were 3,000 people above him. He didn't know who was there or who wasn't there. But he asked the young man that was there, "Do you think," I think he probably told a kid, "Okay, kid, now get out of here," you know, because he helped him out. But he had that lad put his hands against the pillar so he could feel the pillars of that temple. And he said, And the key to this is, he said, "Lord, if you'll just grant me my strength one more time." And he pushed, and he brought that down, and he destroyed the enemy. So that's an Old Testament story, but it's a New Testament thought that sometimes you need some help to get your hands against those things which have been tormenting you and push them away. If you find yourself today in a place where you've allowed yourself to get into a position where you're down, where you're out, where you're grinding, where you're blinded, where you're in a place you don't want to be, call out to God. Someone will be there to support you. Someone will be there to help you and get your hands to be able to push those things that are tormenting you away. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So let's go to John 21. We'll talk a little bit about Peter. It's old fashioned, isn't it? No electronics up here this morning. Amen. Mostly because I couldn't figure out how to use it, probably. John 21, 15 through 19. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, and Lisa had read this scripture over the last couple weeks, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. And he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, he said, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Am I reading the right scripture? Okay. Sometimes I get confused. Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst not, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken, he said unto him, Follow me. Praise the Lord. So by the fire, we know the story of Peter, that Peter denied Jesus three times. He said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times, and Peter did that. And it's very well published, and everybody talks about it, and everybody, most folks know about it, that Peter denied the Lord. And so we're big on that. And it's very well published that Judah betrayed the Lord. And so we're talking a little bit about redemption and resurrection here and restoration. And we hear a lot about Peter and Judas and the events leading up to the crucifixion and up to the resurrection. But you know, there was only one disciple that was with Jesus when he was hanging on the cross, and that was John, right? It doesn't say of anybody else being there. But you don't hear about the other nine, right? You hear about Judas because he was the bad guy. He was the betrayer. Hear about Peter because he was the denier. And you hear about John because he followed him to the cross. But you don't hear about the other nine. And the point being is that they all betrayed him. They all left him. They all denied him. They all weren't there to support him because they were afraid. So let's go to Acts 2. So at the cross, so when Peter denied Jesus before they took him away to be crucified, at the cross, Peter was redeemed. At the cross, Peter was redeemed. And then when he was sitting by the fire and Jesus said, Do you love me? I believe that's when he was restored. I believe that's when Peter was restored. He felt restored. He felt restored at that point. But in Acts 2, it says, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon him, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's go to verse 14. But when Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is not the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. So on the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, chapter 2, or chapter 3, I'm sorry, in verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple, the hour of prayer being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." As I started to think about this, I was thinking that Peter was redeemed by the blood of Jesus at the cross. He was restored by the fire when Jesus, after Jesus had been resurrected and said, "Jesus, Peter, do you love me?" And the fulfillment of that restoration was when Peter realized who he was in Christ. And he stood before the group on the day of Pentecost, and he said, and he told them, "This is not, these men aren't drunk with wine, but this is the Holy Spirit coming upon them." And as the Holy Spirit started to fill Peter and the Holy Spirit started to move in his life, Peter started walking around with a renewed confidence. And that's where God will bring us. You know, if we find ourselves in a place where we've either denied God or we've moved away from God, or we're in a place where we're not following him at the moment, and we find ourselves in that down spot, we can know for a surety that, one, he has redeemed us. Two, he will restore us. And three, he will lift us up and put us in the place that he wants us to be. And when Peter looked at that man that was at the gate called Beautiful begging alms, and that man asked him for some alms. He was asking for money. That's why he was there. He was getting money. That's what he did. We see folks all the time along the street. They're asking for money, right? I mean, you drive down the road, somebody's asking for a handout, and he was asking for alms. He was a poor, crippled man asking for alms. And Peter looked at him, Peter realizing that although he had denied the Lord, that although he had fallen into a place of shame, or though that he had fallen into a place of despair, that God had redeemed him at the cross. He realized that. He realized that he was no longer in a place of death, and he realized that not only was he redeemed, not only was he restored, but he had strength again. And as we saw Samson regain that strength by crying out to God, when Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you." On the last time that he told Jesus, "God, you know I love you." You know what? At that moment, Peter realized that he loved him. You know, the first two times he was saying it, But the third time, he realized that he loved God. And he realized what was in him. And so when he walked up to that gate called Beautiful, and that man was begging alms, there was nothing in him that was going to go the other way. And there was nothing in him that was going to throw him a quarter. You know, a lot of times we'll throw people a bone. You ever hear that saying? Just throw them a bone. They'll be all right. He wasn't going to throw him a quarter. He wasn't going to throw him a bone. He said, "I'm going to tell you something. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. rise up. I want you to know something, that you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus at the cross. And we have been hearing that forever and a day. You have been resurrected from that place where you've been. And not only have you been resurrected, but God is restoring you to the place that he intended you to be. So that you don't have to walk by and say, here's a quarter. Here's what little I have. But you can say, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. What did he have? He had resurrection life in him. He had resurrection power in him. He had the life of Christ living through him and out of him to those around about. You know, when we stand up here and worship in church sometimes, I'll stand up there and I think of that scripture where it says we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And people might think I'm crazy as a loon. I am. Sometimes I am. But not when it comes to this. But I'll look around, and we don't have a balcony back here, but I see a balcony, and I see it filled up. I see it filled up with that cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us, and they're worshiping. You know why I worship? Because he redeemed me. He resurrected me. And he restored me. I don't have to think that I'm less than what he wants me to be. Because there's redemptive power living in me. There's resurrection power living in me. There's the restorative ability of Christ living in me. He said, greater things than these shall ye do. And he was doing a lot of great things, folks. He was raising people from the dead. He was healing people. He was restoring people's spirit. He was restoring people's hope. You've heard me say this before. And please don't go to the science and try and figure out if I'm exactly right. But you can live... I think it's 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, 3 minutes without air, but you can't live 1 second without hope. Because without hope, we give up. And we got to have hope. We got to have hope. Praise the Lord. Amen. Scripture in John chapter 19, 25 through 27. It's where Jesus, Lisa touched on this last couple weeks. He was being crucified. He was on the cross. And John was there. And Jesus said to John, he said, behold your mother. And he looked at Mary and he said, behold your son. And all the disciples weren't there except John and his mother. And the beautiful symbolism, I think, of the cross, and I'm reading my thoughts here, is that Jesus reached back to Adam, and he reached forward to us. He went to the cross for all humanity, all that was and all that was coming. And that was the symbolism of the cross. They could have hung him. They could have chopped off his head. They did all that stuff back then. But they crucified him. And it was to fulfill the scripture. And when he reached out with this hand, three days later, he resurrected, And when he resurrected, he completed what he had come to do. Amen. It wasn't finished at the cross, but it certainly was part of the finish. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews 12:1. Carlin. Just want to read that to you. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Knowing we're compassed about, there's always someone around you. Always. If I'm not there, there's somebody else there. There's somebody there. There are angels around us all the time. There are witnesses around us. I didn't say it. The scripture says it. And I don't want to get spooky, weird, spiritual. But there is a cloud of witnesses around about us. It says, it's in the Word. That means there's strength around us all the time. Peter, John, they're all there. And you think, oh, geez, Jim, you're off. But I'm not. There's a spiritual realm around about us. There's a heavenly realm around about us. Our pastor used to say for years, and folks used to think, but he'd say, heaven is above and around. It's not just above, but it's around. You can't contain heaven. You can't contain heaven. You can't contain Christ. He went into hell when he was crucified. He went into hell and he took away death, hell, and the grave. He took away the strength of Satan at that point. And that's why he was resurrected, to give us entry back into a heavenly realm that we had lost when Adam fell. And that's why we have what we have, because of all of that. Excuse me, I'm starting to lose my voice. So, Jesus redeemed us at the cross. He restored us in the resurrection. Without the death on the cross, there would be no hope of God's forgiveness. And without the resurrection, we have no hope of eternal life. Our greatest need is forgiveness of our sins. Sin separates us from God. And until we're forgiven, we have no hope of eternal life. He took the judgment we deserved, and by his resurrection, Jesus broke the power of sin and death, hell, and Satan. And we no longer have to fear what lies beyond the grave. Do you live in fear sometimes? You don't have to fear what lies beyond the grave. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, praise the Lord. Scripture says this, Jesus' resurrection that his Father accepted his sacrifice, and by putting our faith and trust in God, we will be saved. Romans 10:13 says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say it again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you say it with me? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One more time, because it's good. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, no stipulation, no good, no bad, no up, no down, no poor, no rich, no weak, no strong, no pretty, no ugly, no this, no that. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No exception. Say it again. No exception. No exception. Whosoever. Sometimes we put stipulation. Well, you know them. You know them. Yeah, yeah. We used to be them. I used to be them. I used to be that guy. That guy. That guy can't. That guy. He done. That guy. Were you that girl? Wait a minute. That was Marlo Thomas. That aged me, didn't it? That aged me very clearly. We've all been that guy or that girl or those folks. We've been them. But Jesus said, whosoever, you want to see some whosoever? You know, there are folks all around us that are the whosoevers. We talk about this group and that group. We're all whosoevers. It doesn't matter whether we're black, we're white, we're yellow, we're brown. Doesn't matter we're male or female. Doesn't matter if we're Russian, we're American, we're Chinese, we're Indian. We're all whosoevers. Doesn't matter if we're gay or straight. We're all whosoevers. God is big enough. He's big enough to save you. He's big enough to forgive you. He's big enough to move in your life. He's big enough. When he redeemed us, he redeemed us all. When he resurrected and gave us the right to enter back into the heavenlies, he resurrected us all. When he gave us the power to have restorative strength, that we could do that which he set us to do, he restored the strength of all. Are you a whosoever today? I am. Whosoever. Whosoever. Jesus said to Martha, Lazarus had died. Lazarus had died. It was his friend. He had died and he'd been dead 4 days. And Martha came out to meet Jesus as he was coming. And she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And she could believe him, that he could have healed him. But she was having a hard time believing he was going to bring him back. And she was talking to him about different things. And he looked at her and he said this in John chapter 11. He said, I am the resurrection. 11:25 and 27. He said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he are dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Redemptive resurrection, restorative power of God. All we got to do is believe in him. You'll never die. That redemption covers a lot, doesn't it? Covers a lot. You know what happened a few verses later? He stepped into the realm of death. Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. They said, Lord, he stinketh by now. Back then, they didn't embalm him. You go dig someone up now, and they probably look like they did when they went in there, but in those days, they didn't. They started to decay. He started to smell. Lord, he stinketh by now. It's too late. The rotting process has already started. Jesus said, roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. And they rolled the stone away. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And out he came in his grave clothes. You know what? He didn't stink. He didn't smell. You couldn't tell that there was death on him. because he had been resurrected. I want you to know something this morning. When God speaks life into you, there's no odor of sin around you then. Lord, he stinketh by now, surely. It's all over him. But I want you to know when you come forth, when Jesus speaks into your life, and he said, come on out of there. There is no odor of death around you. There is no odor of sin around you. There is no odor of that stench that goes along with that kind of activity, that kind of place. That's how much he loved us. Praise the Lord. Dan, I'm going to try and sing that. If you guys have that. All right, no worries. So is God big enough?